Welcome to my podcast with music from the early 1900s. Mostly jazz from New Orleans, but also other old swing and dance music. This is an anniversary program, podcast number 40. This means that so far, I have played 240 songs from my large CD collection containing 400 CDs. My name is Goran Hansen, a retired master mariner. The original podcast was produced in Swedish. This is a translation. Please note that the voice you hear is not mine. It belongs to Zia, a US English speaker. Zia is a text-to-voice service provided by MS Office. The previous programs have mostly been about observations from an exciting life. This podcast is supposed to be about Native Americans. North American Indians. In 2017, my wife and I flew from the province of Scania in southern Scandinavia, where we live, to Newark, USA. Newark is located a little south of New York. In New Jersey. There we rented a car. We would drive due west until we met on Route 66. And then follow Route 66, south of the Rocky Mountains. Route 66 started in Chicago, Illinois, and ended in Los Angeles, California. Route 66 was an old travel route for immigrants, who wanted to head west. From the airport in Newark, we continued westwards. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. In Illinois we met up with the old Route 66. Further through Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and finally, California. An exciting journey, a lot to see and experience. But a thought struck me. Very little is learned about the indigenous peoples, Indians, who once dominated the landscape. Whose country is it that you are actually driving across? I thought I'd try to find out. After all, there is Wikipedia and other web pages. So it is easy for anyone to do research. I decided to do precisely that in this podcast. But it will be the same fine old music from the early era of jazz. Now let's play some music. It will be the legendary King Oliver's Jazz Band who will play Riverside Blues. Thank you. The problem when describing the indigenous peoples of North America is the linguistic confusion about the meaning of words. Indian. Why are they called Indians? Native Americans are sometimes used. The word Indian has its origins in a misunderstanding. In 1592, Columbus sailed out to find the sea route to India. He sailed west from Portugal and eventually ended up among the islands of Central America. He thought he was in India and called the area the West Indies. This is in contrast to Marco Polo's East Indies. What was more natural to call the people of the West Indies Indians? In the 1970s, America's indigenous peoples put forward the concept of Native Americans. This was perceived as more politically correct than just Indians. But soon it was discovered that the name Native Americans also began to be used by immigrants born in North America. Other variants were tried. But some of the America's indigenous peoples continued to call themselves American Indians. The word was better, because it did not include indigenous peoples of Alaska and Hawaii. American Indians had now become one of the official names in the United States. The concept of Indians as a collective will therefore be used in this story. The next song was recorded by a band led by the legendary Kid Thomas. His real name was Thomas Valentine, born in 1896 and had his heyday in the 1940s and later during the revival jazz period in the 1960s. Here's a song played by Thomas Valentine.
Moonlight by.
First nation whose country one enters when getting off the plane in Newark is that of the Narragansett people. Some modern-day Narragansetts believe that their name means the people of the small sea capes and bays. They were one of the leading tribes in what is today New England. In the late 1600s, the Narragansett people allied themselves with the colonizers of New England north of New Jersey. But the brutality of the colonizers against the indigenous people shocked them to the point that they returned home in disgust. Ninigrit was the chieftain of the Narragansett people at the time of the arrival of the colonizers in the late 1600s. He had a grandson, Thomas. He was commonly known as King Tom. He sold off large parts of the Narragansett people's land to the Europeans. Archaeological investigations show that the Narragansett people lived in the area for many thousands of years. Their ancient land was sold by King Tom for, one might assume, a pittance. A large part of the Narragansett people was displaced to the area north of New York and joined other Native American groups there. In the 1740s, the colonizers began to convert the Narragansett people to Christianity. A church was built for them. But the tribe retained control and ownership of the church with surrounding 3 acres of land. The only land they were allowed to keep. This ownership was crucial evidence of tribal continuity when the tribe applied for federal recognition in 1983. The Narragansett language died out in the 1800s. To understand their words must make use of written sources. During the 1800s and 1900s, the number of Narragansetts decreased drastically but has recovered somewhat in the 2000s. Today there are 4,000 Narragansetts in the United States. Now a song performed by one of the greats of the 1920s, Johnny Dodds. He called his orchestra the Black Bottom Stompers. Here they play Wild Man Blues. Leave the land of the Narragansett people's territory behind and drive west across the border into the state of Pennsylvania. There we pass 2 groups of American Indians. The Munsee people and the Susquehannock people. First, the Munsee people. They roamed and managed a large area west of present-day New York State. North of Munsee bordered the Mohicans. The Munsee people were the group first confronted by Dutch colonizers. A wealthy English family named Penn presented a forged agreement with the Munsees. In 1737, most of the territory of the Munsee people passed over to the colonizer, with the Penn family in the lead. The agreement is called the Walking Treaty. The Penn family at that time owned a large part of the territory known today as Pennsylvania. After the agreement, the Munsees were forced to move. They moved west to Ohio, where they joined forces with another group, the Lenape people. After the Walking Treaty, the Munsees moved on. Mostly to Canada. There are today three smaller groups in Canada and the United States that retain the name Munsee. According to Wikipedia, there are 120 individuals living in Canada and 90 in the United States. The Munsees were the first indigenous people to meet Europeans in the New York and New Jersey regions in the 1600s. It was not a fortunate meeting for these people. The next song is on the verge of being a ballad. An old song made popular by Bing Crosby. But here with Red Nichols and his five pennies. Ida Sweet as Apple Cider. The next group we encounter in Pennsylvania, during our journey west, is the Susquehannock people. This is where one of the colonizers of the 1600s, Sweden, comes into the picture. It was a Swedish missionary, Johannes Campanius, who in 1640 described the Susquehannocks and their language. Not much is known about the early history of the Susquehannock. The French traded with them in the early 1600s. So did the Swedes. French sources suggest that they originally came from the vast territory of Ohio and the Midwest. A French explorer noted, as early as 1615, that they lived in large fortified villages. The fortification was due to the wars with their sworn enemy, their neighbor, the Massawomecs. In 1640 they began to cooperate with the colonizers from, among others, Sweden. Sweden had established a new world colony, New Sweden. They had a monopoly on flintlock rifles. In the years thereafter, the Susquehannock people declined in number, probably due to various infectious diseases, smallpox not least, but also because of the treatment they were subjected to by the European colonizers. At the year 1700, there were only 300 Susquehannocks remaining. Now a little Louis Armstrong. He recorded many hits that more closely resemble ballad than jazz. I've got the world on a string.
One, two. Got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got a string on my finger. What a world, what a life. I'm in love. Oh. I got a song that I sing. I can't make the rain go. Anytime I move my finger, lucky me, can't you see? I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold a string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let her go. I've got the world in a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string on my finger. Oh, what a world, what a world. Oh, mama, little
continue on our journey towards Route 66 in Illinois. The next state is Ohio. In the northern part of Ohio there are two groups, the Kickapoo people and the Erie people. They lived in the coastal areas around Lake Erie, one of the Great Lakes. There were a few more smaller groups in southern Ohio. The Shawnee people, the largest group in the state of Ohio. It was mainly through their land that we drove on our way to Route 66. The Shawnees are probably descended from a 1,000-year-old archaeological culture. The culture was alive and well in the area around Ohio until the arrival of Europeans in the 1600s. That culture goes by the name of the Fort Ancient. In the 1600s and 1700s, the Shawnee people were scattered across Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana. Some smaller groups in Kentucky and Alabama. Like many other indigenous peoples in the Americas, the Shawnee numbers dropped markedly. Mainly because of the diseases and epidemics that the Spaniards brought in the 1500s. In the early 1800s, they were forcibly relocated to Missouri, Kansas, and Texas. Finally, into Indian Territory, which eventually became Oklahoma. A group of the Shawnee people went to Mexico and didn't come back. They are referred to as absentee Shawnee. Now let's play an old song in a newer version. It's an old jazz standard, but played by Bunk Johnson in 1945. Swanee River. Thank you. We have come to the end of the first part about the indigenous peoples of America, the Indians. It was over their land we drove, traveling from coast to coast in the USA. The Narragansetts, the Munsees, the Susquehannocks, and the ancient land of the Shawnees. But on the road signs it said New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. For a traveler, traces of the indigenous peoples are hard to find. Perhaps the name of a park. Or the name of a hotel. A coastal bay. A beer variety. That's about it. It's like they hardly ever existed. In the next podcast, we drive further west. Through Indiana. In Illinois, we are hooking up with Route 66. Then Missouri and Oklahoma. I will see you in the next program.